Hello, lovely ladies and lords. Welcome to Bastards and Broken Things, a podcast covering House of the Dragon, brought to you by the lovely Fan Critical Network. I am, of course, your host, Sir Len, and once again, joining me this week is the most famous squire in the realm, a cupbearer of the highest distinction. It is, of course, Gareth.
Well, joke's on you, because when you're not looking, I'm sipping away at your wine, so getting drunk for free.
You'd be pissed instantly. I'd tell straight away, mate. It'd be like one glass of wine, and that's it. I'd be like, you'd be slow in your words.
Get a sore belly as well, don't I?
Just a little swollen belly.
Yeah. How come the listeners get a lordship immediately? That's
because they're lovely. Okay. They're lovely, lovely listeners, and they, you know, they tune in every week to listen to us and our drunken ramblings. So they deserve something, okay? So that's the reason. How you doing anyway? You all right?
Yeah, good. Yeah, I'm all right. Just had loads of sips of wine, so I'm buzzing. Yeah. Mm.
Dornish red, or did you have some of the Arbor Gold?
Nah, Dornish red for me. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Nice call.
Yeah. What about you? Well, I know, obviously, because I'm bringing you your Dornish red on a regular basis.
Well, today you've poured me some mead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like an ale type thing, but you've put some new thing that's come from the Citadel called Lemonaten from Braavos.
Yes.
And it's created a Shandosian, as the Braavos who call it, or a Shandy.
For sure. Yeah. So, there you go.
Yeah.
It's good. Very fancy.
Very fancy. So, Gareth, the way this works is, of course, we come to you straight after having watched the episode, the latest episode of House of the Dragon, to give you our unfiltered and unsullied thoughts before, of course, we do our deep dive later in the week. I know that many of you listeners are chomping at the bit for some opinions on episodes. Gareth, this week, I have to say, is certainly no exception.
Mm,
yeah, no, people opinions. Will want some...
Desperate.
They'll want some hot take opinions. They'll be, you know, gagging for it, if you will. All right. Should we kick it off? The way it works, obviously, hot take. We say hot take one, we say hot take two, and we run down the list, usually giving you about five or six.
We give some information after each hot take is announced.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't just... That'd be
just
weird.
A list
imagine
of hot
that
takes
just
and zero.
And that's it for the episode. I'll start off, Gareth, because it will get things kicked off in the right fashion.
Go on.
Hot take number one. I think that if you are a member of Westeros, as in you live in Westeros, right?
A member.
If you're a Westerosi, as they say in the book, and you're invited to a wedding, I would make up an excuse.
Yeah.
I would just say, thanks for the invite. Unfortunately, we've booked our summer vacation across to
Essos.
Lys. Yeah, somewhere in Essos, like Lys or something. Just, you know, the kids sick of it here at Driftmark, absolutely sick of it. So what we're going to do is we're going to go over to the Essos, because apparently it's really nice this time of year. Is nothing sacred anymore, Gareth? We have had a red wedding, we have had a purple wedding, and now we have
the green
wedding.
Green wedding. Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. It has to be a planned vacation, because there's not a lot that can get you out of a wedding. If you're invited to a wedding, there are two things that can get you out of a wedding: another wedding or a holiday that's already been planned.
Yeah.
Those are your options.
Especially a royal wedding. Imagine that. You get invited to the royal wedding and you're like, nah, I can't make it, mate.
Because play football on a Saturday, so it's tricky to get out of.
Well, it's just dangerous being there, isn't it, Gareth? It's just dangerous. Well, stuff's always kicking off. And you know what? Even as a book reader, I was like, this is fine. Because events transpire in the book slightly differently. But I have to say, throughout the whole wedding sequence, I was on edge.
Yes.
And that's just the sort of preconditioning that my brain has gone through. well, with these
maybe
lovely occasions in Westeros.
I think it's a really well crafted scene. Like I think the tension is built up really well. I think that use of the music was kind of reminiscent of the Red Wedding. It's a different song, obviously. But
no, the Hey song is my new favourite song.
It lost all sense of itself in the last like 10 seconds of it. You know, the
it's Hey Ya before like you know synth beats before, and stuff
before
you know,
production.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there's tension rising, and you know, I think without knowing explicitly what happens in this particular book, I was feeling nervous that something was about to kick off, and so it did. The actual kicking off, are we including this in this hot take, or do we want to talk about that as another hot take? Because
no, you can lead it off, because that's a good go for hot take two and continue.
All right, hot take two, the actual kicking off that happened. Oh, although sorry, I was told today by my Australian colleagues that kicking off does not translate. They're like, what do you mean? It started. What started?
Because
I was talking about getting angry at a pub quiz once. I said it all kicked off. They tried to claim that Dubai is the country that has the tallest building in the world. Dubai's not a country. Thank you. It's the United Arab Emirates. So,
all right, let's crack on with hot take
two. All kicked off. But what we mean by all kicked off is fight started, essentially. Crispy M&M's fury was maybe a touch too much too quickly.
Yeah, well, like, you know, I thought this was Crispin's best episode in terms of acting and in terms of stuff to do. The man is an absolute shambles, I've written in my notes. Completely broken and lost by what Rhaenyra has done to him.
Love will do that to you, mate. Love will do that
to
you.
Then I've put, it's a bloody roller coaster, pardon the pun. Yeah, so it's, like Crispy, dear Crispy. I actually really like Crispy.
Yeah.
Sir Criston Cole. He is giving us...
Was bloody the pun there?
Yeah.
Right, because I was like, roller coaster. Yeah. I'm not sure where that featured.
Nah. Blood and that.
Right. Weak.
But like, this happens... Look, in the book, there's this, and this isn't a spoiler, 1 minute, as I said, it's an encyclopedic text, and then, you know, it's interpretations. You've got like that mushroom character's interpretation that's really sordid, and you've got like your maesters and other accounts which are a bit more straightforward. But basically what happens in the book is it's like Sir Criston and Rhaenyra are tight, they're thick as thieves, and then they're enemies. So how did that happen? Why does that happen? The book is showing us... definitively what happened.
The show is showing
and
us.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, because the book, as I said, you can't take it verbatim because it's not first-hand accounts. It's got some accounts, you know, and you don't know who to trust. The show, George is a supervisor on the show. He's seen the scripts. It's written by George and Ryan Conland, so he is approving what is going on here. So from my perspective, this is canon. And this is how Criston gets his heart broken by Rhaenyra. And then, you know, Crispy goes fucking mental. It happens a bit differently in a book. We'll talk about that in the deep dive because I don't want to spoil it for anyone here. But I just think it's fascinating that they're sort of not throwing the source material out the window, but they're giving us that really juicy interpretation that you just don't get in the book. The book is quite boring. It's just facts and occasional words. And occasional accounts, but, and it's just this is way more interesting.
It is, but you know, as a show, from a show perspective, you have to justify motivation, and I get that he's in a bad place, but from what we've seen of Sir Criston to this point, that was a big departure from his character, and it wasn't the biggest you know, catalyst for that kind of about change. This isn't the biggest motivation to go that mental on somebody's face.
Yeah.
Like,
no, that, I mean, look, heavy. There's a, yeah, there's a couple of things at play here. And we're seeing more of Kristen than we ever get the perspective of in the books. So it's hard to say. He feels, you know, he's come from nothing. We need to remember this guy has come from fucking nothing. He is not a lord. He had to fight his way to become a knight, and he is a fucking phenomenal fighter. And then he's somehow become a king's guard, one of the most hallowed positions in the realm, if not the most hallowed position for a knight of the realm, okay?
Mm.
He's fucking thrown it all away, all right? And that's what he's struggling with. He thought it was love, and it turns out he's just a fucking plaything. And he's lost it. And when people start goading him, like this fucking Joffrey, and by the way, we should mention this guy's name is Joffrey. Mm. Another Joffrey at a wedding, Gareth. Thought that was quite funny. You know, he fucking loses it, bro. And, you know, he's prepared to fucking kill himself at the end. You know, earlier in the episode, he's like, look, just can you just give me a quick death? I'm sick of this. Because he feels so bad that he's worked so hard to rise up from the...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Fucking gutter. And now he is essentially, like, thrown it all away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my take on it. We'll get on to it more in a deep dive, but look, I'm sure John will have an opinion. I'm sure Emma and Lucy will have an opinion. But I see it, man. I see it like as a fucking, like, he's just snapped, right? And he is vicious. So,
oh, yes, evidently. Yeah. Oh, and then he does get to just wander off, which, you know, surely stop that man. Anyway.
Well, yeah, that'll be interesting to see the fallout from that. But basically, you know, he could say anything happened there. He's obviously going to have Alicent's protection, it seems now. So that's very interesting. Hot take number three, Gareth. Rhea Royce. Rhea Royce. We get to see her.
Briefly.
What Damon has, who Damon has called his bronze bitch. I think she was rather lovely and an awesome character for all of 1 minute.
I thought she was really cool. I don't know if she was lovely. Like, she was
stern and like she's like an Arya type character. You know, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, she came across as like being quite cool and forthright and very much like happy to give a bit of, you know, give some verbals to to Damon, who no doubt deserves it. But but yeah, I mean, she was mean, but we don't know what exactly has been going on before that. And
true. Well, yeah, I mean, consummation, Gareth. So
sorry,
that's no consummation.
Well, that's true. Yes. Although perhaps some of the Vale sheep will be getting a visit from Damon.
Maybe. Maybe.
But yeah, interesting to see her.
Yeah, interesting. I thought it was cool to be back near the Eyrie. It reminded me of sort of season three where Arya sees Brienne and then Brienne and the Hound fight or whatever it was. That was really cool. So I really like that. Or season four, maybe that was. Yeah, I just thought it was just a very strong opening. And I've put here in my notes, like, the episode is called We Light the Way. But I was like, it's two funerals and a wedding, Gareth. It's just death. You know what I mean? Like, this is a bit much. Also, do you know We Light the Way is the Hightower words, Gareth? The Hightower words. So centers very much on Alicent. And maybe you want to kick us off with our next hot take. Hot take number four.
I do. Just for listeners' information, we don't actually check each other's hot takes, but well done.
No, we don't.
Well predicted.
Yeah. Yeah, segue.
Hot take number four is that I think Alicent is really coming into her own as a major player here. And just
oh, yeah.
as a character generally in the second half of this episode.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a turning point for Alison. And it's worth noting to the lovely listeners that this is the last time we will be seeing young Alicent and young Rhaenyra. This is it.
Boo.
So, boo, yeah, because they've been fantastic. And I thought she was fantastic in this episode. You know, this is the moment, like, Otto is very frank with her. He's like, look, come on. She's having her Sansa moment. You know, that moment where Sansa's very bright, but she still lives in this world of fantasy, you know, and it's a very harsh and brutal world that she lives in. And she needs to realize quick. Yeah, she needs to realize quick that, you know, what do you think is going to happen? If Rhaenyra, if there's a challenge to Rhaenyra's power and it's going to destabilize the realm, they'll kill Aegon. They'll kill Helena. They'll, you know, your children will be killed. Mm. And she's like, right, well, what do you mean? And then she starts finding out all these other things that Rhaenyra's done behind her back. And she's just gone, right, it's war. We mean war. This is me. I'm wearing that green dress, which is very symbolic in the books. And it begins the turn of her character being, you know, a rival to Rhaenyra. Mm. And a rival for the throne. So, well, not her specifically, but her son. So, yeah. Big moments for her, and I'm fascinated to see how the older actresses do next week.
Yeah,
which will take us on to Hot Take 5, Gareth, which is and this is a question for you. How long do you think Viserys has left? Because he's not looking good in this episode, is he? I've written in my notes manky. He looks manky, which is something that's English for people to say.
That's
his arm
looks
word. Fucking manky. Yeah, I hate that word.
It's horrible. I'll be honest, I thought he had died in this episode.
Yeah, I saw a lot of that online. Yeah,
I thought people thinking like that. He just closed his eyes. I thought they were just going to pull a blanket over his head, and then he, like, you know, slow zoom out, and then he just goes, "What are you doing?" And it turns out it's just
I'm not dead, you idiots.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone. I think it wouldn't surprise me massively, though it'd be a bit shit. Wouldn't surprise me massively if at the start of the next episode, it's just like, oh yeah, remember Viserys' funeral? That was all right, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And
be a bit shit
crack
though,
on from
it?
Then.
Poor Paddy Constantine or whatever Lucy says he's called.
Constantine.
Nah, like so you don't think he's got long left? Okay. Well, you know, I think it's very interesting that they've gone so hard on him being so ill so quick. As I've referenced, and this isn't a spoiler, we've talked about it, you've seen it in promotional material, you see older Rhaenyra, you see older Alicent. There's a time jump of about 10 years coming up. You think he'll be there?
Well,
in 10 years?
I just think he... From a show perspective, it's better for him to be there at the start of it, at least. But it will be fleeting. Like, he's obviously on the way out. Do you know what he is afflicted with?
Well, look, if you think it looks like grayscale, it's not grayscale.
No.
It was just... No. It's so... Just a little bit of context here. I think we've mentioned this in the Deep Dive podcast, but, you know, the Iron Throne... In the books, even more so than House of the Dragon, is this monstrosity. It is thousands of swords that Aegon, when he conquered Westeros, had melted down into this throne. And it's tall. It's like, I don't know, Gareth, like 16 feet tall or something. Here, they've just got fucking swords all around it now. And it is said that if the throne, obviously, if it thinks you're not worthy, it will cut you. Mm. And Aegon... the Conqueror always said the throne should be uncomfortable. It should never feel comfortable to be the ruler, which is a very poignant thought. And he got cut.
Well, he did.
Remember, he got cut in episode one. You saw it. And that has spread throughout 5-6 years now. Time has gone on. He's lost his fingers. And now the infection has spread up his arm. And yeah, he's fucked.
Yeah.
But basically, there's...
On the other hand... Paddy
he's fine.
Paddy Considine
the
himself.
The other hand's fine.
Paddy Considine himself has said that it's actually leprosy. How's that?
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, that is interesting. It's obviously because of the cut. Like, let's
get leprosy from
well, fuck knows. But also, we need to remember that the Maesters don't know what the fuck they're doing. Who's told him it's fucking leprosy? Like, Maester fucking Melos is like, he loves a leeching. Give him some more leeches.
Yeah,
they'll sort him out. Clearly, it's not fucking working, Melos. So you're fired. Orwin had the right idea. He was like, oh, let's try something else. He's like, nah, he loves the leeches.
Yeah, he's like, I've got some Panadol. Should we give him some of that?
Give him some of that. Nah, leeches. So, leprosy, it's obviously related to the cut on his hand, which is then taking his fingers, which is then spread up his arm. And like I said, if the Iron Throne deems you not worthy, it will cut you. And it has killed kings.
Mm.
So it's weird, right? It was very weird. Anyway, we'll get on to more of the historical references to the throne and all that garbage.
I want to give one bonus hot take, because it's not a real one. It doesn't have to be discussed. But
go on then.
Let's be fair. Laris Strong is about 5 years younger than his dad.
I have thought that... because obviously Harwin Strong, Breakbones, is his nickname in the books, and you've probably heard it in the show as well. The guy who just gives him the nod later on in the wedding, and he's going in just fucking punching everyone.
Oh, yeah, I'll have you, yes, you little fuck.
I'll fucking have you. I'll fucking have you. he also doesn't look that much younger, but he's there. That's his kids.
You his know. Kids. He literally had them when he was six. Right. Was.
Yeah. Well, technically in Westeros, you do have them young. They are strong boys, Gareth. So anyway, we'll get onto that in a deep dive. But yeah, thanks, Gareth. That is a good point. That's it for our hot take thoughts. I hope that has sated your appetites, dear listeners. Before, of course, we have a deep dive podcast this week featuring myself, John, Emma and Lucy out later this week. You can write to us at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. The email is in the show notes. Let us know if we've missed anything. Let us know your theories and your thoughts on the episode or just how our podcast is doing. Please do subscribe and share as well. Thank you to Sir Gareth.
You're welcome.
And I've been your host, Sir Len, and we'll catch you on the deep dive in a few days' time. See ya.
Bye.